Hello, I'd like to call the February 20th, 2018 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Roll call of members, please.
Mr. Granison?
Here.
Mr. John?
Here.
Ms. Callis?
Here.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Ms. Corman?
Here.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Ms. Black?
Here.
Ms. Champion?
Here.
Ms. Dawson?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
14 members present.
I would like to ask for an executive session at the end of the evening to discuss litigation and a personnel matter for a particular employee. And I would like to say that Kathy, I'm out of sync here because Kathy told me we don't have to say number three anymore. Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices. Because everybody has a red folder with that stuff. But not everybody, because there's like not even a lot of stuff. So there are no revised resolutions, right?
Right.
So there were no communications that you haven't already gotten in email. But that's a lot of conversation to avoid saying one line, Kathy. We might just keep saying it. Okay. Are there any members of the public? Do we have any blue cards? Any members of the public who'd like to speak? All right. Municipal officials, do I see anybody? We may be getting to them too early. If Duck or George comes in, we can always have them come later. All right, any legislators for privilege of the floor? Amanda.
I get to go first. First of all, happy birthday to Deborah Dawson. Okay, second of all, so get out your calendars. March 24th is going to be a very good day. I'm sure you all know that last week there was another horrible school shooting in Florida, and I think that might have pushed some people over the edge, and some of the surviving students have decided to organize a march. They're calling it March for Our Lives, and some folks here and myself, Leslyn and Shauna and Deborah and I started talking about this last weekend and trying to organize our own, and Anna too, trying to organize our own thing, and we got to talking with some more folks over the weekend and bringing in folks who are not in the legislature. And when we heard about this march, we decided to go for that date. So we're gonna join with folks all over the world, it turns out, or all over the country, and hopefully make a statement to put an end to gun violence. It's time, I think, for us to look at what's going on seriously in our country and take a stand. So it will be a rally on the Commons, and hopefully lots of folks will come and be there.
From 11 to 1.
I was just going to ask.
From 11 to 1 at the Bernie Milton Pavilion. We're not actually going to march. We're going to have a rally.
Thanks very much, Amanda. And happy birthday, Deborah. This commitment that you're here. Instead of a birthday dinner somewhere. Amanda, Shauna, you're next.
Great. I just wanted to speak a bit about the most recent shooting in Florida. As a parent of three kids, there isn't a day that goes by that I don't think about my kids' safety. When something like this happens, it makes me want to protect them. And as a newly elected official, it also makes me think, what can I do to protect not only my kids, but those in our county? Over the week, I thought about the ways that we can work towards a better system that dismantles those that have access to guns and clearly shouldn't. On a local level, we must stand with resolve and recognize that this behavior is not normal. We have the power and ability on a local level to provide mental health services to our constituents, but that's not enough. Assault weapons have no place in our society. After every shooting, whether in Las Vegas, where 58 lives were lost, or a high school in Parkland, Florida, where a 19-year-old opened fire on students, the conversation is heavy and emotional in the aftermath, and within a week, the conversation stops. I encourage you all to make those calls to your local and state representatives, not just today, but every day. Whether they are Republican or Democrat, your voices and your words are powerful. We must stay the course. More importantly, we need to work hard in the upcoming election to get representatives that will not be bought by the NRA. We need to do our part to engage and encourage people to vote. It is up to us to continue this conversation, even when it feels uncomfortable or futile. Our children's lives depend on it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shauna. Anyone else? Rich, and then Deborah.
Thank you, Amanda and Shauna, for talking about Florida. It needed saying. I had just a basic announcement. Family and Children's Services is doing a fundraising event on March 3rd at the Ithaca High School. What in the past has been their yogathon is now peace of mind day, and they've expanded it to go beyond yoga. I believe there's Tai Chi and massage, meditation, and even acupuncture from 9 to 2. And it's certainly for a good cause. If you ever want to try any of those disciplines, it would be a great opportunity. Thanks.
Where?
Ithaca High School, 9 to 2, March 3rd.
Thank you, Rich. Deborah.
On a more cheerful note, I went to my first lifelong board meeting last week, and I was delighted to discover a very vibrant organization that's thriving in every way, including financially. But they would love for us to support their annual gala, which will be from 5 to 7 at Ithaca College on March 18th. And the entertainment will be the Savage Club, which I gather is an Ithaca College thing. So if anybody is interested in purchasing a ticket, see me. I will hook you up with Kate Supran, who's trying to figure out what to do with all of hers. So thank you.
Thanks, Deborah. I missed anybody else? Anybody else? Leslin.
Thank you. Amanda and others, thank you all for organizing. You know, one of the things that I hope as we talk about gun violence, we also talk about violence of words, that people are perpetuating against our children here in Tompkins County who took a stand for equity and casting of a show at the high school, who themselves and their families are now receiving death threats. So yes, we can talk about gun violence. It's horrible. Like Anna, like Shauna. Goodness knows I fear for my children going to school. But we also need to not ignore the fact that people are talking about coming to this county and hanging our children. People are sending messages like that because they dared to take a stand. Not acceptable. So we need to be loud. We need to be bold. We need to let people know that in Tompkins County, we do not accept, support any such behavior, verbally or otherwise. And you will not be allowed to come to this county and do that. It's one thing to threaten me. I'm used to it. I'm a legislator of color, and, you know, it's not unusual for me to hear things like that from folks. But to do this to these babies, to do something like that to these children, to threaten to burn somebody's house down, is not acceptable. And yes, it may be mere words, but mere words often lead to what we see now with someone showing up and shooting people down. So we have to be loud about this, not let it rest, keep speaking out about it, and keep sending that message that it is not happening here. On that note, I also want to remind folks that we are hosting at GIAC on March 3rd, Sweet Honey on the Rock, who are just offering free workshops and encouraging people to come and sing and support each other with songs for social and racial and economic justice. So that is happening on March 3rd, and don't ask me the time because I can't remember. I'll tell you in a second. At noon. Saturday, March 3rd at GIAC at noon. You know, they sing, and they're taking a stance, you know, through song and sending a message through song and encouraging the community to come join in and do the same. So I just wanted to share that with you all.
Thank you, Leslie. Anna?
I just want to thank everybody for what you've said and just add one thing that keeps ringing through my head from an amazing speech that was done by one of the survivors, Emma Gonzalez. If you haven't seen the video, please do. And one of the things that she made really clear is that over and over she said, please listen to us. We aren't checked out. We do know what's going on. We do have something to say. So I'm hoping that all of us remember that and more bring in the voices of the youth so that they're part of this conversation, in particular for their own protection and the protection of their teachers and their families, but that it come also in collaboration with the youth in our community and around the country. So.
Thank you, Anna. Anybody else? All right. I would add to that. Those young people are just incredible. And people say we have this cycle over every shooting, and we're numb to it already. I think these kids are waking us all up, and it's you know, thank goodness for them. And you know, I hope we don't fail them again. So thank you all. I wanted to take a few minutes and update folks on the meetings that we had in Albany on Friday. Jason and Katie Borghella and I and Mike Hall from the airport went, and Charlie Krasansky, Cornell's representative in Albany, met us, joined us for the meetings that we had with the governor's staff, including the very top level staff on the on the second floor and the top level staff at the DOT. The sort of two related issues were the DOT Airport Upstate Revitalization Initiative and the DOT relocation the site on the waterfront in the city of Ithaca. We had a very full hour conversation with them. I think I've emailed you all the PowerPoint that we sent, that we used, and we got some good feedback already. They did talk about, got actually to the mechanism question, if briefly, and when the attorney's in the room, they brought the attorney. We didn't expect that, but as you all know, that's when the real work starts, is when the attorney shows up. So we're encouraged. We think that all of you are shaking your heads. That's right.
Lawyers.
That's right. So the lawyers are shaking their heads. So I think it was a real team effort putting together our presentation. Jay Franklin helped us with some key information about the value of the property, down the DOT property. And it was, I think, definitely a quality meeting. And we're very hopeful. We've already followed up by email, and we'll give them a polite amount of time. And if we haven't heard back, we'll follow up again. but I think it went well. We then also, at the last minute, were able to insert a meeting with the Assistant Secretary for Health in the Governor's office, thanks to a meeting that Shauna and Anna had pulled me into the day before with Lisa Holmes about the Medicaid-assisted living program, a kind of senior living opportunity that we don't have in Tompkins County. And I was able to sort of make our case. And I've heard back, her name is Megan Baldwin, I heard back from her today that, yes, she's gotten our messages and she's passing this along to the other person who hadn't been returning Lisa Holmes' calls. So I'm very hopeful about that. The idea is it's, you know, assisted living that can be supported by Medicaid when you first walk in, not just somebody who spends down whatever funds that they have and then they end up the last part of their lives on the Medicaid program, but when somebody walks in the first moment that they need that living, that level of care, that's available. It's not available in Tompkins County. Folks in our community have to go to either Auburn or Montour Falls or, where's the other, Watkins Glen, for that kind of assisted living, and that's not okay. The good news is that the governor's executive budget includes funding for 1,000 beds, new beds of this character in New York State this year, including $20 million for capital, where there's no facility at the moment. And we were told 500 of those beds, which are meant to be upstate, and especially to target counties that have no Medicaid ALP. So that's, I don't want to jinx anything, but that seems like we should be in a good position to get what we need, or at least to get some of what we need. And I'll let Jason report on the public safety meeting that we had as well. But it was an intense day, but I think a well-spent day. So that's my report. If there are any questions on that. Okay, Mike.
Martha, just at that point about assisted living is so important in our county. In my practice, I see people every week that are that need that kind of care or that need long-term care. The cost of long-term care is skyrocketing. We used to tell people it was around $6,000 a month. Now it's close to $9,000 a month in a nursing home. Assisted living is less expensive than that for everybody. It's our process of not having people on Medicaid from the beginning, expecting them to spend down to impoverish and humiliate them, is one of the saddest things that we do to our elderly people. And long-term care insurance, which has been pushed in the last 20 years, long-term care insurance companies are beginning to have been going out of the market and are putting through huge increases on their premiums. I've seen some that in 1 year went up 48%. So thank you for bringing that up. It's very, very important.
Well, we was really lucky to have that meeting the day before we got to Albany, and great to slip that in there. Mike, 48%, if you have a current policy, your premium goes up 48%?
It did. Ugh. It's because they can do it as long as they raise everybody's that amount. They can't raise it just for a particular person, but if they raise everybody's, they can raise that. I can tell you from personal knowledge. And they can do it every 3 years.
Thanks, Mike. Deborah.
I just wanted to second what Mike said, that happened to Ronnie and me. We had this policy for 15 years, and they pulled that. And it just doesn't make economic sense at some point. And so what you're left with is the paid-in value that you've already got, and it's not much.
That's really depressing.
Okay.
I've been paying for it for 15 or so years myself. Well, thank you very much. And Lisa Holmes is going to be following up on that one. Anything else? Okay. Jason, County Administrator's report.
Thank you. So the third meeting we had that day from 11, 12, and 1 was a good meeting. Martha, myself, and Katie, we met with Assistant Secretary for Public Safety, Joe Popkin. We've met with Joe before. Last time we were in Albany a few weeks earlier, Joe was kindly enough to set up a meeting. I believe one of the commissioners for corrections was there. The acting commissioner for OCFS was also on the line, as well as some of their folks on the ground that are dealing with the Raise the Age issue. A lot of our questions were geared around some of the financing questions of, you know, and to encapsulate this a little bit, some of the biggest challenges with this Raise the Age is what to do with the adolescent offenders that are yet to be adjudicated, the 16 and 17-year-olds and ones that have less than a year sentence. And they have to, the state has created a new facility that they have to be held in called a specialized secure detention facility, or an SSD. They don't exist in today's world. They will exist effective October 1st of this year. So a lot of the scrambling that has happened with amongst the counties is most counties outside of urban counties have an average of 1 to maybe 4 beds per year need. So the intent is that counties should get together to pool resources and should have a shared opportunity to house these youth. The challenge that comes with it is someone has to take the initiative, create the business plan, either improve a facility, build a facility, and then take on the responsibility of managing and staffing it without real an understanding of how this will all turn out. So some of the questions we had were geared around the financing mechanism. Obviously, some of the fears that we have at our level is that if you take on a certain $1 million financing option or bond, let's say a few million dollars, the question is will the state live up to their promise to continue to reimburse you for that expense for now for the 20 years of the bond? So we asked some questions around if we were to have a 10-year bond, would that be acceptable, or a 5-year bond? This way we could get out from underneath it quicker. And the responses were similar, although I'll give the sense that the DOB guy that's been the DOB gentleman that's been with us for a lot of these conversations has been very sincere of, yes, we want to have those conversations. We would be open to something that works within reason, but we can't expect to pay cash for capital on every single expenditure all in the first year. So there were some good responses to that. What came from it was several things, which I think is important to understand. Number one, the acting commissioner of the Child and Family Services basically complimented Tompkins County for our diversion of youth out of detention facilities and away from detention facilities. Our allotment on an annual basis, I think last year, was $175,000, and we used about $12,000 of it. And she said not only do we have the ideology, but the practice in place for best practice in the state, and we're really doing exactly what we should be doing. So that was a great compliment coming from the acting commissioner, the person in charge of the Child and Family Services. That conversation led down another path of, if there was an intent, if we continue this type of approach, which has been very successful, both Pat and Kit were also on the conference call, and we continue that approach, we may have a greater need for a different type of facility, like a non-secure facility, a group home. And the question then spun into, would the state be willing to fund some type of capital project around bringing those types of needs to the county versus a specialized secure detention facility, which we just may not have a lot of need for. And the answer was yes, let's continue that conversation, which was good because that might be a need that we actually have. In addition, it looks like Hillbrook in Onondaga County is going to be converting a secure detention facility to a specialized, or adding on to their secure detention for specialized beds, which I think puts a little bit at ease because it's about an hour drive, an hour 30 minutes at most from here. So if there were beds that we may need on a limited basis, we might have access to those, to that facility, to house youth on a random occasion. So all in all, I thought it was a good meeting, got some good feedback from the state, had some good players in the room to answer those questions for us, got a good compliment from the state about the way we're working with our youth rather than detaining them and diverting them from traditional detention facilities, which was positive, and their willingness to work with us on maybe some other alternatives that may better meet our needs long term. So I don't know if I think I captured it all.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Jason. Yep. Anybody have any questions, comments? I think it was a good conversation, and one other point. Sorry, Rich, they're going to use the Lansing facilities.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
The Finger Lakes Residential and the Lansing, they're actually going to take the two pods that are unused at all now and convert them. And at that point, I lost track of the acronyms. I don't
yeah,
know
we got a lot, we got mixed up in a little bit of that. But all in all, the taxpayers got their money worth on that day. We had some good meetings with some people that gave some positive feedback.
We could probably use the masonry building if we have an idea for it. But that's another story. I should have mentioned that I sent you an email this afternoon. Kathy has been trying to get meetings for us with our state delegation. We heard this afternoon that we could have a meeting with Senator O'Mara mid-April. I said, that's after all the juice happens. That's after the budget. So they said, well, how about Friday? So if anybody can join us, Jason and I can both go. It's in Elmira, 45 minutes from here, Friday at 12:15. So I've emailed you that info, and if you can join us, that'd be great.
Coming Friday?
Yeah. I know. It's like, well, it was either that or April. So she said tomorrow. She said Thursday, and Kathy said, well, maybe Friday. So. And Kathy's going to circle back with Helmings and Sewards and Lifton staffs as well to try to set those up. So 12:15 on Friday. Thank you. That's all I have. And thanks very much, Jason. Jonathan Wood, County Attorney.
Thank you. I left a report on everybody's desk, an updated litigation report, which for new legislators I do periodically, not at any set time, but when things change enough from the last report to merit a new one. But please feel free to read them, and please ask me questions if you have any about them. And that's my report.
Thank you, Jonathan. Any questions? Not about these cases necessarily, but... Okay. Rick Snyder, Finance Director.
I have no formal report tonight except to note that our ban and bond issue, the closing where we actually receive the funding, is tomorrow morning.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions for Rick? Okay. I will go through the consent agenda.
I just wanted to say to Jonathan, yours went by very fast, but I liked your report, and nice to see some of the cases coming to a conclusion.
Yeah, some of them have gone on for a long time before coming to a conclusion. Good, thanks.
All right. We're going to move things around a little bit so that staff can go home. But first, are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Dan?
Yes, I'd like to withdraw Resolution K, please.
Okay. That's withdrawn. Anything else? All right, then I will read through the consent agenda and let me know if you want anything pulled. Resolution A, ID 7617, budget adjustments for 2017.
Pulled.
That's being pulled for discussion. Resolution B, authorizing the county administrator to execute an easement to Angelo Sand and Gravel Incorporated, Recycling and Materials Management Department. That's ID 7618. Resolution C, authorizing supplemental agreement number 2 with CNS companies for rehabilitation of the general aviation apron, construction observation and administration services at the Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport, ID 7623. Resolution D, authorizing supplemental agreement number 3 with CNS companies for passenger boarding bridge gate 3, construction observation and administration services at the Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. Excuse me. ID 7622. Resolution E, authorization to execute supplemental funding agreement with the New York State Department of Transportation, PIN 3756.10, Pine Tree Road, County Road 174, intersection improvements at Ellis Hollow Road and East Hill Plaza entrance, Town of Ithaca. That's ID. ID 7624. Resolution F, determination of a negative declaration of environmental significance, County Road 136, South Street Extension, slope stabilization along Tagannock Creek, Town of Ulysses, ID 7625. Resolution G, authorization to accept an award of a grant from the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services, Probation and Community Justice Department, 7583. the ID number. Resolution H, correction of tax roll, Town of Newfield, parcel 15.14-4, ID 7561. Resolution I, request to officially name the stream Six Mile Creek as Six Mile Creek, ID 7564. Thank you, Deborah. Resolution J, approval of 2018 succession of members of the county legislature to serve in the absence of the chair and vice chair, ID 7586. Resolution K, K was withdrawn. Yeah, thank you. Resolution L, authorization to restructure the medical examiner program and budget transfer across budgeting units, ID 7604. And Resolution M, budget transfers across budgeting units, environmental health, planning and coordination of children with special needs, and community health in the health department, ID 7605. And the appointments, I have Ethics Advisory Board, Rich John, legislator. Ernest Warren, Supreme Court Library Board of Trustees, Deborah Dawson. Greater Tompkins County Municipal Health Insurance Consortium Board of Directors, Amy Guerreri and Sarah Thomas as the alternate. Amy is the delegate. Joint Committee on Plan, Structure, and Design Committee for the Health Consortium, Sarah Thomas. For the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board, Dave McKenna. For Soil and Water Conservation District, Dave McKenna and Deborah Dawson. Fish and Wildlife Management Board, Mike Sigler as the delegate, Amanda Champion as the alternate. Water Resources Council, Amanda Champion. Planning Advisory Board, Anna Kellis. Community Housing Development Fund, Anna Kellis, and the alternate is Ann Corman. The Board of Health, Shauna Black. Greater Ithaca Activities Board, Henry Granison. Recreation Partnership Board, Henry Granison and Anna Kellis. Personal Emergency Response Service Advisory Board, Amanda Champion and Regina Gold. Tompkins Community Action, Leslie McBean Claiborne. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Ann Corman and Henry Granison. To the Traffic Safety Committee, Shauna Black, Henry Granison, Dave McKenna, and Anna Kellis. Emergency Response and Oversight Committee, Henry Granison. And as the chair's appointment, do I have to wait till everybody votes on the consent agenda before?
You can include that in there.
All right. And as a chair's appointment, Rich John to be chair of the Ethics Advisory Board. Do I have a motion on the consent agenda? Moved by Anna, seconded by Deborah. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Thank you very much. That was a lot of business. All right, let us go to A. We have Barb, you're here for A, right? And Frank, you're here for... Okay. I didn't see Sharon there. Okay. And Joan, you're here for the seeker? Okay. All right. Let's go to A first. Dan, you want to take that
one? Sure. I would like to move Resolution A, budget adjustments for 2017, Department of Recycling and Materials Management.
Let's have Dave second that since he should have moved it. Okay. All right. My fault. Thanks.
No problem. I wonder if we can have Barb come up to explain this. Barb Ekstrom from Recycling.
Thank you very much.
Materials Management.
Sorry, Dave.
Hello, everybody. I did talk to Dan briefly today and also my deputy who was at the meeting while I was away on vacation. And let me help you out. I can understand why many of you really don't understand what that last budget adjustment is about, because some of you are new and some of you haven't really heard about what's going on at the Caswell landfill for a while. So the Caswell landfill closed. It served as one of the two Kenny landfills. It closed. It was ordered to close by the DEC about 30 years ago because it was environmentally unsafe. We did a closure plan and we constructed a cap with clay top, and we divert what's called leachate, which is the contaminated liquid that flows through the garbage, into an on-site storage tank. That leachate is transported by a permitted hauler through a contract to the Ithaca Wastewater Treatment Facility. So in an attempt to find a more sustainable option than hauling this leachate to the treatment facility, we hired an engineering firm to evaluate what some of the potential options could be for on-site treatment. One of the outcomes was to evaluate further the creation of what's called an artificial wetland on the landfill site. What that simply means is it's an engineered landfill that has a lot of reeds and different vegetative crops that are known to uptake the contaminated liquid, and that winds up having to be disposed of properly. So we did a pilot feasibility study to determine if the leachate constituent levels would satisfy what's required by the state. So, for example, a constituent means ammonia or sodium or phenols or total solids or a number of other things. So what we were trying to do is to see with a bench study, a small study, before we go and spend all this money, if indeed we could meet what's called the State Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit, SPEDES. You might have heard of that before. And what's important to understand is that this liquid would ultimately go into the Owasco Inlet and Fall Creek. And if it doesn't meet those requirements, then we can't do it, and nor do we want to do it. So while some of the constituents showed that the removal rate did meet the requirements, others didn't. So in particular, sodium and the dissolved solids did not. So before we went any further, we realized that the only way that we could continue looking at an on-site treatment was to add a very expensive treatment process on-site, which would remove the sodium constituents. And unfortunately, that it would be very cost prohibitive. So we stopped the study, and we basically are now, what Rick has had me do is we close the capital project. We will no longer be incurring an annual cost for that project, and we are paying off what we spent and what it costed us for the bond attorneys to deal with the project. So that was one question. I wanted to find out if anybody had any questions about that one piece.
Mike.
Are we still going to look at alternatives such as piping to a waste treatment plant or something like that?
We did look at that, and the village of Freeville was not at all interested in that consideration. And at one point we met with the village board.
Has that been recent?
About 5 years ago.
What's it worth another telephone call?
We could certainly do that. No problem. And I'll talk to the engineer before I do, just to make sure I know what the issues are on that. Okay? Anybody else?
Anne?
I was just going to ask what the next step was, so I think that's partly answered. But am I assuming correctly that one of the next steps might be then to look at getting it hauled away?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear less to haul.
Would the next one option be to haul it away and treat it off-site? Somewhere?
Well, we're currently doing that, and we've been doing that for about 30 years. We haul it and pay for the cost to haul and treat it at the Ithaca Wastewater Treatment Plant. And the truth of the matter is, not to get into too much detail here, but the Caswell landfill leachate, as opposed to the Hillview Road landfill in Danby, is a much weaker, it consists of much less material in terms of contaminants, but it still has to be treated. Many years ago, we thought, 20, 25 years, but that's not the case. So we don't know how long that's going to go on for.
So this resolution is only about the financing of the capital project, and it doesn't indicate any change in what we've been doing with the leachate.
That's completely right. And the other piece of this resolution on the adjustment, just to explain that, is that So we pay, as I explained to you, we pay for this collection and transport of leachate to the treatment facility. We hire a contractor that's permitted. We then have it delivered, and it's treated. In 2017, it was a very, very wet year, and the actual leachate quantity was about three times what is typically an average for a three or five year period. We only had one other situation about 15 years ago that even was near that, and we wound up treating 2.5 million gallons versus 800,000 gallons, so we had to pay additional money for doing so. And that's where the $108,859 came from, which luckily we had a surplus in disposal fee revenue that can cover that.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome.
Really confusing. So are there any...
It is confusing, and there's a lot of history here, and it's hard for people to even know what some of the terms are, let alone what the issues are.
Any other questions? Ready to vote on the resolution. Okay. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thanks very much, Barb. And we'll come back to the F&I report. If I can go to, where are we? Health Human Services. All right, let's go to PDEC. Anna, you want to take Resolution O? Back at page 41.
Resolution O, approving revision to policy 0933 of the Tompkins County Government Administration Policy Manual, complying with the State Environmental Quality Review Act.
And move, seconded by Deborah. All right. Any discussion or questions? This might be easy, Joan.
I'm okay with that.
No questions? Ready to vote. Having gone through three committees and many, many meetings, all in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you, Joan. Thank you very much. The public doesn't know what we're talking about, but we've been revising our policies, updating our policies, marching through for a number of years, and this is a big one. So thank you. Back to HHS. Public safety. Okay, Rich, why don't you take... Start with Q.
Okay. This is Resolution Q, authorization to transfer funds from the Mental Health Department budget to the Tompkins County Sheriff's Office budget to fund a new position of jail psychiatric physician. And in case there are questions, I think Frank Krupa is here and Sharon McDougall. Oh, good. You're ready to go.
I'll wait over here, though.
All right. So moved by Rich, seconded by Dave. Second by Dave.
And this is one of the positions we need to cover for the jail. And the idea is to have the person at the jail be supervised by jail personnel. And we're going to see the same thing with Resolution R. But, Frank, maybe you want to add to that.
Sure. I did send around a memo. I hope you all got a chance. And I apologize I wasn't at the budget committee to answer questions there. But really, what we're doing is kind of adapting as we're realizing the reality of implementing some of these new programs. The social work position that was created through the OTR, we were working to implement that at the jail. And we identified an internal source, one of our forensic counselors was interested in going there. Ray, Captain Bunce, was supportive and recommended her being assigned there. And so we did that. And that's actually happening now. It started at the beginning of February. And then what we and I'm going out of order. I apologize. It all kind of goes together. I'll tell you the whole story. So the forensic counselor is up there and working. What ended up happening is our medical director left the mental health department, as many of you are aware, last year, and we lost our nurse practitioner the first week of this year, which put us in a position where we were unable to continue to support the prescriber needs at the jail. And so in talking with Captain Bunce and the undersheriff, we came to the conclusion that it made sense for the jail to try to find that resource for themselves through the hiring of a psychiatrist to prescribe at the jail. So what we had agreed to do in order to support the jail was use some of the funding from our vacant psychiatrist position that we have at mental health to support the funding of bringing that person on at the jail. And so that's what Resolution Q is essentially about. What that then did, as we were evaluating the totality of the program, was we had our forensic social counselor at the jail that would potentially be reporting to Captain Bunce as the administrator of the jail, a new psychiatrist that was employed by the jail, our psychiatrist at the mental health department, as well as her direct supervisor at the mental health department. And we just felt like that didn't make sense. So again, meeting with the undersheriff and Captain Bunce, we decided that it made more sense to use a model similar to what is currently going on with physical health, where the jail nurse reports to Captain Bunce. This new forensics counselor would report to Captain Bunce and would get medical supervision from the new psychiatrist that they were hiring. Trying to make it cleaner so that it was more tenable for the forensic counselor. One thing to point out is the forensic counselor in the mental health department was a 37.5-hour position. The OTR that you approved was only for 35, but we are moving the full 37.5 to the jail because we didn't want to penalize our employee who graciously agreed to take on this new role, and we will absorb that 2.5-hour loss by just replacing that position with the 35-hour social worker that you all gave us through the OTR. So that's the summation of both of them.
Thank you, Frank. Any questions? Anything else, Rich?
No, I think that well summarizes it. Thank you, Frank.
Any questions? I have a question kind of about both. We get partial reimbursement for certain public health and I assume mental health positions. I don't know if these are relevant, if there's anything like that.
No, the funding that we get for the mental health department is it's finite, and so that funding will still remain with our forensics unit at the mental health department, so there won't be any loss of state aid with this switch.
Okay, and no effect on insurance reimbursements?
No, we can't bill for services in the jail.
Okay, all right. Great, very good. We've got Resolution Q ready to vote. Oh, one more question. So... is the total target money, is the amount of money here for 2018 a full year's budget? Or is it, we'll have to like recalculate that when we do the next year's budget as a target, full target position? I mean, full year.
Sorry, I'm trying to pull up the number. It looks like it's the full year. And the intent is to transfer the entirety of that target to the jail.
Thank you very much. All in favor of Resolution Q, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Thank you. That's unanimous. And Resolution
R.
PR.
Authorization to transfer mental health forensic counselor position from the Mental Health Department to the Tompkins County Sheriff's Office.
Moved by Rich, seconded by Henry. And, all right. Any questions? Discussion? Ready to vote. All in favor of R, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. We're whipping through this stuff today. All right. Did we cover all the staff? Brian, was there anything you wanted to add from the Sheriff's Department? Okay. I think you can go too. All right. Then if I haven't missed anything, let's just go back to the committee list. Our Transportation Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
The Transportation Committee has not met since our last meeting. We will meet again on March 2nd at 9:30. Or 9 o'clock. I forgot which.
9
o'clock.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Any questions? All right. Thank you. Government Operations, Dan Klein, Chair.
Thank you. We also have not met since our last meeting, our last legislature meeting. We next meet on Wednesday, March 1st, 9:30 in the chambers. Two items that I know for sure that we'll be discussing. One is going to have the election commissioners there to talk about early voting, the proposal that's being floated in the state, and just to get us talking about it and thinking about it and understanding what some of the implications might be for Tompkins County. And then also we're going to have Dave Sanders come, who has been working on the performance management system, evaluation, not sure what the right title is, that we authorized last year, and he's going to update us on what that actually means, what's been done so far, what's left to do.
Thank you very much, Dan. Any questions? Very good. Thank you. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality, Anna Kelly.
So we will be meeting.
No, wait, hold on. We didn't do N. That's right. No. Sorry, Anna.
No, it's fine.
Dan, Resolution N, packet page 39.
Thank you. I'd like to move Resolution N, Appropriation from Contingent Fund, Terminal Pay Reimbursement, Department of County Administration.
Seconded by Mike. Any questions? All right, so roll call.
Mr. Granison?
Yes.
Ms. Dawson?
Yes.
Are there any no's? Thank you. That's unanimous. Okay, now to Anna.
So we will be meeting on Monday, this coming Monday, February 26th at 3 p.m. Some of the topics that we will be covering include a presentation. As you guys all remember, we rejoined the Southern Tier East Planning Development Board in this last budget was approved. That begins now. And so they're coming to present, give us an introduction of what they're doing and what our involvement is. What the benefits are. So if anybody wants to come to that presentation, that will be happening around 4 o'clock. We also will be discussing and voting on a resolution to support a statewide ban on the single-use plastic bags. That there was a state task force report on single-use plastic bags in New York State. One of the recommendations was a possible consideration of a state ban, and so there are counties that are considering this, but it is a request for the state at the state level. We're also discussing and voting on an opposition to the incinerator that has been proposed in Romulus, and there are a few other agenda items. So.
Thank you very much, Anna. Mike?
I'm not understanding about the plastic bag ban. Mm-hmm. Is this a resolution asking the state to look at it? What are we talking about here?
It is a resolution in support of a movement to get the state to do it, to actually do a state ban.
And where's that coming from?
That was originally reviewed by the EMC and brought forward. That was also reviewed by Barbara Ekstrom and supported. So it's gone through departments and advisory boards, and it will be discussed in committee.
Are we going to be alerting our commercial sector that uses those plastic bags, the grocery stores, et cetera?
So my conversation with Barbara Ekstrom is that has been initiated, and I will make sure to contact them so that they can join the conversation.
Good.
Deborah.
I got an email today from Brian Eden. I don't know if you got one too, Anna, that said that the governor did not include that plastic bag ban in his 30-day budget amendment. So
I did see that, yes.
Okay, anything else for Anna? Thanks very much. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Well, we did meet for Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee on February 13th. And it was our first meeting of the new year. And we looked at a number of things, starting with our human resources department. We want to take a real look at that the first part of the year particularly. We know we'll be heavily into the budget the second part of the year. But we want to look at the personnel department and where it has vacancies, where there are needs to catch up with work. I know there's some frustration in the department. Amy Guerri came in and talked with us, and it's important that we work with that department and get it back on track so that its workload is caught up. They do an awful lot for us. They maintain our civil service requirements for 2,600 positions, not only in Tompkins County's 700 or so, but also all of the towns and villages that are out there. I believe the school districts are involved too, not the city, but those other things. And that's a huge undertaking for them to do that. They're looking at the possibility of some retirements coming up in the next couple of years that could affect some of the longtime people there. So stay tuned. We're very concerned and want to make sure that we have a really strong support for our Human Resources Department. Along with that, of course, Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee is part of our reports to us. I'll let Leslin talk about that on her report, naturally, but I'd like to see the Budget Committee focusing even more on some of those issues that are coming out of that. And to that end, I'm trying to encourage more of the committee persons and all of you to attend some of the WDIC meetings, to possibly join the WDIC and become a part of it. I'm sure you'll be hearing from Leslin about some of the work projects that they're going to be having in that group. The budget, we're going to need to start thinking about our retreat already. It comes in April, and I think you're all going to be getting an email very quickly trying to establish a date middle to late April. And that's where we give our county administrator parameters of what we'd like to see in the budget, which he will put together for us in August and hand out to us in September. Been working very closely with Leslin, the vice chair of the committee, and I think that's important. I know our chair has asked us to this year redouble our efforts of working with between the chairs and the vice chair, but we also have to work with all the other committee members that we have. And I think we have a good budget, capital and personnel committee, and we hope to do some good work this year.
Thanks very much, Mike. Anybody have questions, comments? Thank you very much.
One other thing.
Yeah.
We did begin, actually two other things. We're going to have to be thinking about our auditing, and we have basically decided that the whole committee will be the audit committee, and that when it comes time to review the audit, we'll actually have a special longer meeting in order to do that. That's it. Rick brought that to us to decide about. And also we will be working up a process for review of the four direct report positions, the county administrator, the director of finance, the county attorney, and the clerk of the legislature, and we need to do the review of their performance. I don't think we've done that in 2 years, so it's time to get started on that.
Thanks very much, Mike.
Those two things.
Sounds good. Thank you. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslin McBean Claiborne, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mike. I actually was going to mention the review, the direct reports, so I'm glad you remembered. I don't have a report. Our committee, you heard a report from the last meeting. We will meet again next Wednesday at 3:30. In the old jail conference room. I'm hoping that we can spend some time really formulating the question or questions we want to ask of contract agencies that get monies from the county on how are they measuring diversity and inclusion, what are they doing, what do they have in place, what sort of policies they might have for recruitment and retention relative to diversity, and how are they providing service in that area. We did invite Kathy Schlatter a few meetings ago to engage in conversation around this, and this is just a follow-up so that we can potentially provide some guidance for her to develop a tool to then present to the agencies that do get funding from us that they oversee, but maybe something that our departments can also be using for those with whom they contract, because we want to make sure that our contract agencies are also mirroring what we say we are doing in both our diversity and inclusion statements as well as our policy as a county. We want to make sure that's happening. So that's one area. We also, I'm also hoping that our next meeting that we can come up with a, I'll have a draft toolkit for our own departments to be reporting on what they're doing. We've had the climate survey. People know what the expectations are. Something that we can recommend to the county administrator to take a look at and draft and see how departments feel about sharing and where does that sharing happen. We started this conversation last year. It was, you know, not a quite concrete decision about where would that sharing happen. Would it happen at WDIC? Would it happen at program committees? Would it happen before the full legislature? So we know what our departments are doing. So that's the two main things on our agenda, as well as some of the other follow-up items, including the training that, again, I again want to remind all of you to try to participate and contact Autumn and the county administrator's office to participate in the training offered by the Gay Alliance out of Rochester, New York. I think it will be wonderful. That's my report.
Thanks very much, Leslyn. Any questions? All right. Thank you. The Housing Committee will meet for the first time this Thursday at noon. That's an unusual time because we were supposed to meet yesterday, but it was a holiday. So, Housing Committee members, you have a hard copy of the Housing Strategy in your mailboxes. Some of us find things easier, certainly to make notes on a hard copy than electronic. We'll start the committee meeting with a review of the housing strategy. Megan McDonald will go through it, and we'll have a chance to really talk about it in depth at the committee meeting. Then talk about goals, talk about the existing tools that we have right now to try to implement the housing strategy. And that certainly will lead us to sort of gaps. What might we be able to do that will move those goals along? So I think it will be a good beginning conversation, and I look forward to that. So that's noon on Thursday. Anna?
Something I just remembered, the affordable housing public presentation that Megan's going to be part of next Monday night. I think it's 7 o'clock at the public library. So for any of you guys that want to come, or the public that wants to come, I know that's a really big topic that we all care about.
Can you say more about that?
I'll let Martha.
League of Women Voters is having a presentation on housing. I believe housing needed, affordable housing for people, friendly for the environment. All right, the entry looks very strange on my calendar. Sorry, but it's Megan McDonald and Joe Bowes from Ithaca Neighborhood Housing making a presentation at the in the Borg Warner Room at the library next Monday, 7 o'clock. And so it should be a good summary for certainly for the public and for any of us to get an overview of what we mean when we talk about affordable housing and sustainable housing in the community. Thanks for remembering that, Anna.
Yeah.
Listen.
This has absolutely nothing to do with housing, but I just remembered I wanted to say a great big thank you to any of my legislative colleagues. I was out of town this weekend who might have been involved in helping to paint over the racist graffiti that was out on the skate park, and I just wanted to thank you all for being there and representing if you did go out.
Thanks very much, Leslyn. Absolutely. Anna?
I know I was there. Staff John Guttridge And I just wanted to add to that that there is a permit that will be considered and voted on in Common Council to support artists to create transformative art on that spot so that it is not just stopping with a whitewashing of the wall, which has some pretty bad negative connotations that we all recognized, that needs to go further than that. And the hope is that some youth artists will join and community artists. So,
thank you both. Mike?
Just something I would relate to you with for the Housing Committee. Going through some old county files today, ran across the 1995 county report on affordable housing. So it's a continuing effort that we have, and then this committee of yours will be pursuing that. But because we are an economic engine for the region where people come here to work even more so than they used to be, affordable housing continues and probably will always continue to be an issue for us.
Amen. When we were working on the housing summit a year and a half ago, Kathy Schlatter brought me a folder from the Affordable Housing Summit 1988. And, you know, you could have just changed the numbers a little bit. Now, that's not to say we can't make it better, because we've got to try.
Just about to say, then we slacking, man. 1988, 20, like, come on now.
That's
get
right.
This thing up and running.
Absolutely. That is the plan, or at least the goal. All right. Let me just mention also, I haven't mentioned that, remember, we passed a resolution here asking the state to add maintenance and management of affordable housing to the list of things that we could do in Section 224 of county law within the state code. We took that to NYSAC, and I don't think I reported this out, did I? We took that to NYSAC, and so many counties they're walking wounded about mandates. And there was a lot of pushback that said, if first New York State allows us to spend money on affordable housing, then they're going to make us spend money on affordable housing. I kid you not. The only way we could get it passed was to have it made specific for Tompkins County. So in the meantime, we also are kind of going back and forth, because some counties actually are spending local dollars on housing, on affordable housing. So before we make it a big, you know, push with our delegation or with the state, we want to really settle on knowing whether we need to do this and why are some counties doing it and are we looking at the wrong models, et cetera. So that'll definitely be on the Housing Committee's agenda. But it was really, I was taken aback. I thought this wouldn't be very hard to do, but a lot of counties just said we don't want to be in the line of fire on it. So anyway, but thank you. I think Dan, you were at that committee meeting, and so that was you were very helpful on that. All right, Public Safety Committee, Rich John, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. I have one more resolution I wanted to put on the floor. This is Resolution P, Appropriation from Contingent Fund, Terminal Pay Reimbursement, Department of Probation and Community Justice.
Seconded by Henry. Thank you. Any discussion? Questions? Is it a roll call? So it's a short form roll call.
Mr. Grandison?
Yes.
Ms. Dawson?
Yes.
Are there any no's? That's unanimous. Thank you.
The Public Safety Committee met on February 7th, and we were scheduled to have a representative from New York State come in from the Governor's Traffic Safety Committee. But unfortunately, that was the day of the snowstorm that we got, and this person was unable to come, so we'll be attending our next meeting on March 7th at 3 o'clock in these chambers. We also had a very good presentation from our Director of Probation on the raise the age issue and what we're going to need to do. It's very complicated. There's a lot of work to do, and it does seem like we're behind the curve. Particularly New York State is still trying to figure out how it's going to do the various things it has to do to give direction. There was a 90-page rule book that came out today, so people are, as we speak, getting up to speed on it. There was a representative of New York State here today meeting with various county employees and representatives, including some of the judges, several of the police agencies. This is going to be a major bit of work in 2018 to make sure we're ready for the launch in October, which will apply to 16-year-olds, and then next year is going to pick up the 17-year-olds. As I said, the next Public Safety Committee meeting is going to be on March 7th at 3 o'clock, and I anticipate having the representative from the Governor's Traffic Safety Committee there, and I believe we're also going to have a presentation from OAR on the programs they're working on. Then I also mentioned that we are about to have our criminal justice coordinator position start, and this is a really big step for us. This is good news. And Jason, maybe you want to say something to that, or you don't want to put you on the spot? But
it's going to start March 12th. Dave Sanders is currently works for E-Services. Has been working on the performance measurement program as well, and we'll carry some of those responsibilities over with him over into the criminal justice coordinator position. He'll be located up in our office, up on the third floor. We'll find a corner for him, and we're excited to work with Dave, and welcome on board.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the name of the individual again?
Dave Sanders.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Now, having this person on board is really going to help us in terms of being able to track our position and take a real data analytic approach to all the different alternatives to incarceration programs that we've launched and have expanded. You know, we're spending a lot of taxpayer money, so it's really important to watch what we're doing, and this will help us a lot in doing that. So I'm very excited to have this person start.
And I've been going to CJATI for a number of years, and he's always there representing youth services. And he really knows the whole community, this whole network that's engaged and involved. So he's not going to be wasting any time getting oriented, and I think he's got a lot to bring to the table on this. Any questions for Rich?
Can you tell me, is that position going to be full-time out of the jail, or is he still going to do part-time at youth services?
He's still going to be continuing the performance management function that he's been carrying at youth services. So as part of his job there, that's coming over because it dovetails really well with the data analysis he's going to be doing for the ATI programs. So it's essentially more performance management reporting for us.
Thank you.
Mike.
Jason, might you bring him in to introduce it to the people who haven't met Dave before?
Absolutely. We can bring him at the next meeting.
That'd be great.
And, Rich, this sounds like some part of his job will stay at youth services, so there'll be some adjustment or hiring.
I mean, the performance measurement piece was kind of put at youth services when he was there. It's probably best under administration when you talk about managing performance measurements across the organization. So it'll be retained. You know, he'll continue to work on it, but it'll be out of our office.
Right. Was there no kind of purely youth services work he was doing anymore?
There was. About half of his work was, it seemed like half of his work was with youth services.
Okay, great. Thank you. Anna?
So part of his job, he's really solid in performance evaluation. He's going to oversee, he's going to chair CJATI also, right, still, that's part of that. And then doing the networking between all the groups internally that are working to keep them collaborating. Is that also,
given
that it was a full-time and now it's...
I mean, I think the best way to understand it, a lot of it is understanding you're putting a lot of different programs in place. How do you monitor their success? How do you measure their success? You're collecting data from a lot of different sources. So in essence, you know, that position and that criminal justice coordinator is going to be monitoring or obtaining a lot of that data and then presenting it to the agencies that are involved to understand, is this programming having, you know, is it improving over time? What are the results of it? So that is a performance measurement element of the job.
Right, but it had other pieces, which was sort of the more people-person focused area.
And him being involved on that committee, CGATI, is very familiar with all the players involved. We'll continue to coordinate it, continue to work with all those individuals and those different agencies across the spectrum.
Great, thank you. Good. Anything else for Rich? Well, I'll just raise the question of LEAD because we're also going into the Health and Human Services Committee. It's almost really a cross committee function, but do you want to talk about that a minute at all?
Sure. Okay. I'm happy to talk about LEAD. We're entering into a series of meetings with the city and hopefully getting LEAD off the ground. For those who are not familiar with it, LEAD is a program called Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion. And the central piece of it is to try to deal with people who are repeat offenders or have committed very minor crimes in a different way, to give the police officers some discretion, instead of just arresting, to divert these people to services, and particularly the services that the county largely offers. The idea being that instead of cycling people in and out of the jail, that we're going to have an opportunity to try to get them onto different pathways. This is good from our standpoint of trying to control our jail population, but it's also just a good idea from a community and social justice standpoint. And the communities that have done this, Seattle is the leader in the country, and it's branched out to several different places, including Albany. We're modeling our program largely on what they're doing. And from the county standpoint, we're really pretty much ready to go, because we provide the backup services, the back of house services that somebody can get referred to. What we need the city to do is, one, to launch the program and also to fund the case manager position and the supervisor position. And I think they're heading towards doing that. We have some agreements that we need to reach, but I'd like to see us moving pretty quickly to get there, because from our standpoint, I think we're ready to go, and this is a really good thing to try in our community, see if it works.
Thank you, Rich. Anybody else? Oh, I know nobody else in the room cares about this. No, I'm teasing. It's complicated. It involves a lot of different organizations and people, and there's a sort of a broad community public function, but there's also a role that, you know, we have to get real clear on what happens, you know, what the county's involved in, what the county's responsibilities are, what the lines of communication need to be, et cetera. So some of us are going to a meeting tomorrow, convened by Catherine Celentano at the Drug Policy Alliance, but that's only not the beginning of the conversation. It's kind of the middle of the beginning of the conversation. But there's more to follow. Anna?
I just wanted to support what Rich is saying. I really appreciate that summary. And the one thing that I would just add is that LEAD, by the nature of what it is messy to set up at first, because it's trying to do something to it's very democratic, connecting the city and the county and the community to oversee a program. And I really appreciate everything that I've seen so far and the people who've been committed to it, because it does take a lot of patience in that, and the fact that we're going into these meetings now and we're working towards setting it up speaks volumes to where we've gotten so far, and we've got a ways to go, and it may be messy when we start, and that everybody's willing to jump into that to help out the community is a good thing.
Deborah.
Quick question. I understood there was some issue about paying for this.
There's always an issue of paying. I think from the county standpoint, our budgeted positions are in place. So what we're working with the city on is how are they going to structure their side of it, and they need to make some decisions there. But I guess I'd echo what Anna said, that I think we're close, and I certainly would like to see us push on this a bit and get it up and running sooner rather than later. If we're not doing something right, we can fix it. You know, it's something where it may be a little bit ugly to start, and that's okay. You know, let's get out there and try this. you know, it looks like we're going to do it on a fairly thin budget line from the city, so it's not a huge capital risk. Let's go see what we can do with it.
Thanks very much, Rich. Okay. So that leads into Health and Human Services. Shauna Black, Chair.
Hi there. I have one resolution I would like to move. Resolution S, budget appropriation and adjustment for continued funding of Special Advisor to the Office of Human Rights, ID number 7601.
Thank you. Seconded by Dan. Discussion? Short form, another roll call. All right. Short form roll call.
Mr. Grandison?
Yes.
Ms. Dawson?
Yes.
Are there any no's? That's unanimous. Thank you very much.
Our meeting took place on Monday, February 12th, and the topic that we covered was Section 8 housing in our county. We were joined by Daniel Harrington from Tompkins Community Action, as well as Nils Bond, Director of Community Development from the Ithaca Urban Renewal Agency. Danielle from TCA discussed the application process, the number of vouchers they received on an annual basis from the state, the average rental payment for participants, and the percentage of vouchers issued that have expired. TCA currently receives 995 vouchers per annual year, and the Ithaca Housing Authority, which is also another agency that provides services, receives 970 vouchers. Together, that's almost 2,000 Section 8 vouchers in Tompkins County, and it still isn't enough. Currently, the wait for someone who is entering into the application process is anywhere from 12 months to 36 months on the wait list. Danielle also mentioned that some of the barriers were the security deposits required from landlords. These security deposits cannot be paid for by Tompkins County or Community Action or Section 8. So this is something as a county that we might want to look forward to subsidizing in the future. Transportation was also a barrier, specifically for some of the housing that is not located in Ithaca. One thing that I found interesting was that the voucher given for housing is not based on location, but is the same payment. So, for example, whether you live in an apartment in the city of Ithaca or in the town of Groton, it's the exact same amount. You would receive the exact same subsidy. Nail Bonds from the Ithaca Urban Renewal Agency explained how there have been other communities that have changed the subsidy program based on location. However, that doesn't really work in our community because some of the less desirable locations also include the 14850 zip code. We plan on continuing the conversation over the next few weeks with some of the agencies, including the Housing Committee and others, and we'll dive into ways that we can help more people obtain housing and also reduce barriers. Our next meeting is scheduled for Monday, March 12th at 4 p.m., where we will focus on senior housing options in our county.
Thanks very much, Sean. Any questions? Comments? Appreciate that. Thanks very much. That was a great discussion, the Section 8 conversation. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Dave McKenna, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. F and I met on January 15th. We passed most of the resolutions that were on the consent agenda under facilities. And in addition to that, we had an annual report from Weights and Measures. Well, we got to meet Steve Wright, who is our part-time person working under Don Ellis. He works for us a couple days a week and seems like a pretty nice guy. In addition to that, in the resolutions that we passed, we had a rather extended discussion on the statewide geothermal energy challenge that's being hosted by NYSERDA and NYPA, which is New York Power Authority. And it amounts to about $3.8 million to install geothermal heating large-scale systems across the state. The result of the discussion is that with the help of a person, Casey Mastro, who works for NYPA, And our planning and facilities department, we're going to look into utilizing these grants or applying for these grants across a number of areas at the airport. There'll probably be three or four different ones depending on how everything works out with other grants that we're trying to get and so on and so forth. But anyway, to be continued, and we're pursuing it, and it's nice to have Casey in our pocket to help us do it right. So thank you.
Thanks very much, Dave. Yeah, it was a great discussion. Any comments or questions? Thanks. Have you started talking about downtown space issues yet? No? Okay.
Well, I'm going to be going with Jason on Thursday to look around at the various facilities that we have and see what open space there is, and we'll go from there. At this point, it's too soon to say anything, I guess.
That's a good start. That's great. Thank you. Dan, did I see your hand?
This is a non sequitur, but it just happened, so I thought everybody should know, given the emotions and the present or the on-the-floor legislative comments in the beginning of the meeting. The assault rifle ban bill in Florida was just voted down an hour ago.
Boy. Okay.
We've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. All right. Was there anything else for facilities? Is that...
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much, Dave. All right. We have the minutes of February 6, 2018. Going to get a motion on that. Moved by Deborah, second by Shauna. Comments or changes? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed?
Yeah. It's done by a short one.
Do we need to know anything?
No.
Okay. All right. The minutes passed unanimously. All right. Can I get a motion? We're going to recess, but can Anna?
No.
Oh, can I get a motion? We're going to break. When we come back, I'd like us to be to go into executive session, as I said, for litigation and for a personnel issue regarding a specific person. So can I get a motion? Moved by Anna, seconded by Dave. All in favor, please raise your hand. All opposed? That's unanimous. So let us stay tuned. I think we were waiting for somebody here, so don't go far, but we're adjourned. We're in recess.
We're not adjourned.
What? We're in recess, yeah.